Welcome to the Florida Horse Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. I'm Tammy Gant, and I'm joined by our guest today, George Isaacs, the FTBOA president. So great to see you here today, George. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, Tammy. Great to be here.
I know you've got a very busy tenure now between your stint over at Bridlewood Farm as general manager, but then also as the FTBOA president. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I moved here quite a few years ago. And, working in Florida and working at Bridlewood's been a labor of love over the years. And I've watched a lot of, very important industry leaders hold the position of president at the FTBOA. And I got to say in the back of my mind when I first moved here that I hope someday that I'd be given the opportunity and earn the opportunity. And I guess that day has come. So be careful what you wish for. But I'm glad to be in this role.
Oh, that's just wonderful. It's wonderful because you really have a legacy here, generations. And now just recently, the Acorn Award was awarded to Bridlewood Farm. So it's your person that knows that history so deeply. And how meaningful was that for the Malones and the farm to win that award, which is for land conservation?
Well, again, as having been at Bridlewood essentially since 1989, and I had a short, stint over at Mr. Paulson's farm, Brookside, for 4 years. But collectively been at Bridlewood for, I guess, around 30 years altogether. Starting with the Appleton family who founded the farm in 1976, and we sold the farm to the Malones in 2013, and the Malones transitioned over as wonderful stewards of the property. But, when I tell the story, the Appletons were just wonderful stewards of Bridlewood. And they certainly, when you think of Bridlewood, you think of the Silks with the red apple and with the Appletons. And they were a little bit like royalty in the racing community when they were always very well dressed and they really enjoyed going to the races and they really enjoyed the pageantry of horse racing and all the good things that you remember why we do what we do. And so when the Malones, agreed to buy the farm in 2013, I was able to, impart that, they could also transition and own a ready-made farm and a wonderful property. And we would try to recreate that same type of, symmetry and legacy for them if we possibly could. And so we rolled up our sleeves, and we've been working at that since 2013. And we've been represented by two Grade One winners already with, two horses that we purchased. But all the same, we started with zero horses when the Malones purchased the property in 2013. So Taprit won the Belmont for us, which is an American classic, and Moonshine Memories won two Grade Ones out in California for us, and went into the Breeders' Cup as the favorite for the two-year-old juvenile fillies that year. And ironically, we were beat by a Florida bred, Caledonia Row, to Peter Vesco. So, we bought a Kentucky bred, but we got our butt kicked by a Florida bred. So there you go.
Wow.
Having transitioning the Malones over into the Bridlewood property and the Malones are the single number one landowners in the United States, and they love conserving property. They loved owning property, and they're wonderful stewards of property because they've never sold one acre. So, and Mr. and Mrs. Malone both kind of live by the credo that if they can buy property that's contiguous to the mothership, so to speak, that they always do. So when they bought Bridlewood, it was 800 acres, and now it's 2,200 plus acres. There's a common theme that, just is interwoven through everything that they do. They're great, lovers of the land. They're great conservationists. They're great employers, and they just do a lot for the community as well. So they're wonderful people.
So jumping off that legacy a little bit, because that rich history is there with the Appletons, who also have the Appleton Museum in town here that is in Ocala, that's run by, it's a world-class museum run by the College of Central Florida. And so when you talk about that history, I mean, it's just right on the tip of your tongue. And so when you were appointed to be the chair for the Walk of Fame, which is a walk that you're trying to put down in the downtown Ocala area to introduce people that are not familiar with the horse industry and horse here in horse capital of the world. And so you were kind of tasked to that. So what does that look like for you?
Well, I thought it was nice, as I recall, and kudos to you. You get a lot of credit for all this, but as I recall, the CEP reached out to the FTBOA to ask for their guidance on, how they could help establish a thoroughbred walk of fame in downtown Ocala. And obviously there's been a renaissance in downtown Ocala and a revitalization of that area. And for them to reach out and give the Florida thoroughbred industry a chance to memorialize that in a meaningful way, I thought was great. I thought it was, very good leadership on Kevin's part, on the CEP's part, that they would reach out to us, those of us in the know that could help guide them in this process. So, we very quickly formed a committee to, have enough people on that committee that would have, good input on the criteria that we would establish to develop the thoroughbred, the Florida thoroughbred champions. And so, you can help me with who's on that committee, but we came up with a criteria, and it was very important to me that we really established a very meaningful criteria. And we've had so many good, true champions from the highest sense of what champion means in our industry, from Florida. So, from my viewpoint, it should be, Florida champions that are actually in the Walk of Fame in Saratoga, New York. And so we started with those original 12 horses that are
So let me read those really quick, because I always, we know them. When if we have a test, we probably could pass it, but it's awfully hard to remember them all. So our Florida Breds in the National Hall of Fame, that will be our first tier inducted into the walk. Right. And that's going to be, for those that are familiar with Ocala, that's going to be our west side walk of the downtown square, which is where March Prime is, where a lot of horse business has been done over the many, many years. Mm-hmm. So we've got Needles, Carryback, Dr. Fager, Tawee, Susan's Girl, Desert Vixen, Foolish Pleasure, Affirmed, Precisionist, Holy Bull, Silver Charm, and Skip Away. So quite an elite, illustrious group right there.
Absolutely.
That'll be in our first. And so I know some of the things that you're working on as the chair, in addition to working with the folks that select what that next tier will look at like, which is our Florida Bred Champions, because there's 36 stars that will be on that walk, mm-hmm. and they cost about $3,600 each. So part of the goal you have as the chair is some fundraising, and then also just seeing it come to fruition.
That's right. Well, I think it's, I think you have to start these, type of, projects with a goal, and you have to try to, work away at it systematically. So knowing that Marks has the 36 slots on the Marks side, I think it's inherent that we fill those 36, plaques first. And so we've already went through that criteria, what we're trying to establish. So we're going to start with the 12 horses that are actual champions that are in the Saratoga National Hall of Fame. And then we're going to start, after that, we're going to start with Florida champions on down the line. And we've got a host of Breeders' Cup winners from Florida and also Florida champions in general that are just very good racehorses all in all. So, we're starting to reach out to those people. You just mentioned it's $3,600 for a plaque. We're going to work hard to go ahead and try to get all those positions filled on the Mark side first, and then go from there.
Yeah, and when you mention that, so what it's going to look like is those thoroughbreds will take a walk or two, and then the opposite walk in front of the Hilton will actually be all breeds and all disciplines, and that's the best of their breeds, and they have their own criteria for those. And so that's really interesting to know that there's so many amazing Florida breds and thoroughbreds that have gotten their start here in Marion County that it makes sense that that walk will fill up fairly easily with those horses that qualify. And then from there, we still have more on the list, and so we'll have to wait for some more stars to come along.
It's really refreshing, as we've seen some of these changes going on in our community, there's obviously pros and cons to, the population growth and the amount of people that are moving into Ocala. And when I moved to Ocala, it was small, and now it's getting, you know, quite good size, or even large from my perspective. But, you know, the World Equestrian Center, I think we can all agree, is just a great thing for this community, and it's just a tremendous positive to the equine landscape, if you will, in this community, and has so many pluses versus minuses in my mind. So for that reason, you know, I mean, and there's, you know, let's go back to, you know, Ocala being the horse capital of the world. Yep. You know, I mean, we can say that the former executive director was smart enough to trademark that, so they can't take that away from us. And clearly, with all the different disciplines in this community, equine disciplines in this community, you can easily say that we are the horse capital of the world.
Yeah, by sheer number of horses, by economic impact of $2.6 billion, in addition to, like you said, what World Equestrian Center did, which was basically just kind of tell our secret that it's an amazing place where there's lots of amazing horse practitioners, a lot of champions, and then now our newest addition, that Walk of Fame. And so to kind of wrap up, our Walk of Fame will also have an app, so people that want to go on their phone, they can look at those different bronze stars and learn the history behind each horse, which is really the significant part, right? So they can understand that Needles won the Kentucky Derby in 1956 that put Florida Breds on the map, and then that grew from there to what it is today, which is the horse capital of the world.
Yeah, I think people will really enjoy that, and people that don't know anything about the horse industry, when they scan that barcode and read about the history of the horse and the people and the connections behind it, it'll really come to life, because there's so many of these, you know, farms that are represented here locally. These horses came from these local farms, and they'll be able to put the two together.
Yeah, completely. So, well, for one last moment, I have to put a plug in for my favorite on this Walk of Fame, which is Silver Charm. Is there one in that first list of 12 that really catches your eye? I know you've got some on the list down there for Bridlewood. Is there any that caught your eye?
You know, I mean, as a lifelong student of the horse, so to speak, and a guy that, you know, basically from the time I got in the horse business, it was always my goal to become an important, you know, general manager, farm manager of a world-class farm. And, you know, I guess I can say that I humbly achieved those goals at Bridlewood, you know, for a host of reasons. And we had so many good horses at Bridlewood over the years, and quite a few champions that will be represented on the Walk of Fame. They're not in the National Hall of Fame, but they were certainly Florida champions, and Bridlewood will proudly buy them a plaque on the Walk of Fame downtown, and you'll learn to be continued. You'll find out who
those
are.
They have a special place in your heart.
They certainly have a special place in my heart. But, you know, that being said, you know, when I first moved down here, and of course, you know, as a young horseman, I was always in awe of John Nayrud and Tartan Farm. And, you know, over the years, I got to meet John and became friends, and he actually sent me horses of his to raise at Bridlewood when he was retired, and getting to know him. So when I look at the horses that he was associated with, and, you know, as Dwayne Lucas says, you know, in horses, there's three ingredients that you look for in a horse, and that's speed, speed, and speed. And so, you know, Dr. Fager is my favorite horse on that list because of that reason, and he's got a cool story in himself. So I would have to say Dr. Fager would be the horse that appeals to me on the list.
I think that's a great way to end it. Dr. Fager, the world's fastest horse at a mile, set that record in 1968 on dirt, still stands today. Thank you for coming in, George, and we are very excited about your presidency and what we'll see in the future.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.